Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. I'm Luke, and joining us today is someone who's making his first Breakdown appearance. It's Pastor Mike O'Brien. Welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm so honored to be here, Luke.
It's really cool to be here with you. I was thinking about it, and I first met you, I was probably, I don't know, maybe 16, 15 or 16, it's like somewhere in that age. And you were the first youth pastor that I really had. And it was awesome. You always had great messages. I enjoyed going. And I remember just being really sad when the Lord moved you on.
Yeah.
But he's brought us all back together.
Yes.
So it's awesome to be here with you.
Awesome. It's an honor to be here.
Awesome. So we're going to charge into the message from this past week where Pastor Zach preached out of Ezekiel. But I just wanted to just step back to the week before where you preached. And I just wanted to thank you for being so vulnerable in sharing from your story. You know, the Bible talks about us as like living epistles or like living letters of like God's grace. Mm. And I just wanted to thank you for modeling that for us, because I think so often we want to, I don't know that necessarily we want to like whitewash or clean those parts of us, but I think we're afraid sometimes to share that,
yeah,
or to see how far the grace of God goes. And when we share that, and we, especially in light of God's grace, it's like we see the transformation power and how,
yeah,
in our story, we have the power to carry God's grace to people in a similar situation.
Yeah, that's so good. And it was such an incredible honor of all Sundays to be able to share on Belong Sunday. And as you know, some of the story, having a single mom who adopted 8 kids, mm-hmm, and fostered kids, it not only spoke to me, but to even have my mom in the audience and to be able to honor her, and just for all the work that she's done, all the, mm-hmm, sacrifice that she's done to share my story. And I think going into it, it was more of like, God, I need you to tell me what you want me to share, because I don't want this to be about me, but I want,
right,
it to be about the grace that you've poured out, mm-hmm, over my life through different circumstances. So,
amen,
it was an honor to be able to share that from the platform.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And I loved what you said at the beginning about where you encouraged us to not listen to your story in a comparison to ours.
Yeah.
Because I know that can be tough.
Yeah.
And especially like for me, having grown up in a Christian home, I did struggle with, oh, I don't have a dramatic testimony.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that Satan tries to put into the minds,
yes,
of kids who grow up in a Christian home. As I've grown and I've truly, like, the Lord shown me, well, this is how far like your sin could go.
Yeah.
Like, you do see like the saving power of God in your own life.
Yes.
And how God's grace, his heart is to extend through generations.
Yeah. And I think, and it's funny you say that, because I even my story, the enemy comes in and says, your story is not extreme enough. Like, you,
wow,
hear other people's testimones, and it's just a lie to kind of make you stay silent. And
yeah.
I think that was going into it, is saying the same Jesus who can hold people, mm-hmm, from not going to a certain area is also the one who redeems. And I think that was huge. And the Lord spoke that to me. And I think it speaks volumes, because even in my story, I hear other people's and compare. And
right,
the Lord has always said, there's always going to be people who've gone through more. There's always going to be people who maybe haven't gone through, mm-hmm, as much. But the stories are about God's saving grace and his redeeming grace. So.
Amen. Amen. So you're new to a lot of the people here.
Yeah.
Just tell us a little bit. When did you receive the call to go into ministry, or you knew that serving the Lord as a pastor was something that he was calling you to do?
Well, I think it was when I started pursuing what I had wanted and started bringing God into my plans. And this goes back into graduating high school in 2003 and going to college in criminal justice. That was,
wow,
kind of what I was going into, and went to a community college because at that time in the state of Massachusetts, tuition was free. And so I thought, hey, free education, let me pursue that. And also say it wasn't a waste, but I started to look back at 3 years of being in that. God started shutting doors. He shut doors athletically with basketball.
Wow.
And he actually used a secular professor put like a question mark on what I was pursuing. And from there, God just turned everything around. I had a pastor at my church at that time who had graduated from Bible school, and he was a mentor of mine. And kind of just saw me a little lost, and he kind of opened the door and said, why don't you check out this school? And it was from there that I went and everything turned around. I will say it was like God pulled the carpet out from underneath me and had to break a lot of stuff that I had put as a foundation. And it was through that time that God started giving me a fresh perspective and passion for his word, for teens who had gone through similar things that I had gone through. Mm-hmm. And it was, what's amazing is you were part of the youth ministry. That was like my first.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So this was 2006. And the church you were currently at was the church that was my Helps church. And I remember sitting in a meeting and one of the pastors said, is there anyone here who has an interest in youth ministry? And that was my minor at the time. So I kind of just like half raised my hand. And from there, God has just, he has just done a work. And it's just, as we were sharing before this even started, to be sitting across from each other this many years later, it just shows God's grace and the details and the sovereignty in us.
And I think God has so much fun with this sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, I'm going to bring these people back together, or we're going to do this or that. And, and because on our perspective, it can sometimes seem so random, but nothing is random from God's perspective.
Amen.
So if you're listening to this and you're struggling and you're feeling like your life is very disjointed, know that there is a great pattern in all of it.
Yeah.
And ask the Holy Spirit, and he will in his time help you to zoom out and see the hand of God at work. But,
so good.
But it's hard in those times because I've been in those times.
Yeah.
You've been in those times. We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah.
The transition points are tough.
Yes.
But that's where like the beauty and the pattern comes out.
Yeah. And it's like when the Lord told the Israelites, they took them away, they didn't know. And that's the hard part. We want to go away, we know.
Right.
But that's where the trust comes in. And sometimes you don't see it until you look back.
Yep.
And looking back all these years, it's like the only thing I would say is I wish I did trust God more, because I look back and I see that his hand was in it and that he was really leading.
Yeah. I was reading in, I think it was in John today. And it's that passage where Jesus tells his disciples, in a little while, you won't see me.
Mm.
And he's like, and you're going to mourn and you're going to be very sad. Mm. But then in a little while, you will see me again.
Yeah.
And they're so confused by that. And us on the backside, we understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
But it's like Jesus gives just enough.
Yep.
But sometimes the just enough he gives is like, Lord, could you just be a little more clear?
Yeah.
But trusting that he gives you what you need in that moment and then just bear with it and knowing that he's guiding you through it all.
Oh, good. Yeah. So good.
So going back to your message, is there any encouragement that you would want us to take from that as we go forward into, especially in like this Christmas season or into the new year, for us and our families?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'd like to stress more is with that message is just what do you want your table to look like? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and if people saw the live stream, they saw all the dishware set up across the edge of the platform. And that was a visual that Pastor Zach had actually given an idea for when he heard what the message was going to be about. And I think as we get into the holiday season, there's going to be a lot of family reunions, Thanksgiving, Christmas, seeing a lot of people that you don't normally see on a regular basis. And it can come bring up old feelings and it can bring back maybe people have said things or looked at you differently that can bring up some hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important. The perspective is who do you want to have at your table?
Yeah.
And for me, I was that person and I've seen God's grace in my own life. And looking back at Mephibosheth, who was lame, who shouldn't have even culturally been at the king's table.
Could you explain a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think culturally, someone who was lame, he shouldn't have been there. Mm-hmm. And but I think it wasn't what I love about the story is, and I think I had mentioned this towards the end of the message, was there wasn't anything that Mephibosheth did to earn a place at that. It was only the kindness of David that brought him to that. And I look at my life and there's nothing that I've earned to be where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. It has been nothing but the kindness and the love of Jesus. And I think if we can learn to live in that, God gives a grace when we're around difficult people or difficult situations. And it makes you almost change who you have at your table. And, you know, even growing up in high school, you think of the lunchroom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your first thing is you're going to sit with your friends only. But you had some tables where there's some people who maybe didn't have that circle of friends. And even as we're talking now, I'm thinking back, there was a table all the way towards this window where people sat who didn't have that. And sometimes there was something in me that would draw me to that table.
Yep.
And you'd have to walk past the cool table and sit there. And I think that's the heart of Jesus. And so I think a good practical application is as the seasons come and you sit down to the Thanksgiving table, it's looking around the table and seeing that the same grace that brought me to where I am is the same grace that brings other people, no matter what they've said or even no matter what they've done.
Amen. Amen. Jesus said, freely you've received,
yes,
freely give.
Yeah.
And, you know, we always have to combat this works mentality.
Yeah.
And Paul writes about this so much through his letters. You know, there's something in us, and Satan wants you to think that you have to somehow earn your place with God.
Yes.
But we know we couldn't earn it.
Yeah.
We don't deserve it.
Yeah.
And he invites us to the table.
Yes.
We are all that lame Mephibosheth that gets a seat at the king's table.
Yes.
And when we see that, when we allow the Holy Spirit to show us, like, remind me of my lameness that you have covered and that you healed me of.
Yes.
It breeds inside of us that heart of Jesus for others.
Mm. Yeah. And I think, you know, what I love is that Mephibosheth's mindset, even when David invited him, he said, such a dead dog as I, when we're born into brokenness, or we go through brokenness, we carry that. Mephibosheth lived with that for years.
Right.
And what I love is he came every day. It wasn't a one-time thing.
No.
David could have been for appearance and make this look good, and then that was it. No, it was every day that he came. And I think there was a reason for that. It was, one, showing the unending grace of God through David and the kindness of God through David. But secondly, it was for Mephibosheth, because sometimes I'll sit at the table and I'll see what God has brought me to, and there are thoughts that will still come in saying, I don't deserve this.
Right.
And you look back in your past and you're like, well, I just don't deserve this. But I think the consistency of it eventually gets that mindset out of you. And that just shows how amazing and kind God is.
Yes, he is. He is. So moving into this past Sunday with the dry bones, and it's a really cool passage.
It is.
I love that passage. What was your key thought coming out of it? Like, where would you take us, like, to start as far as like applying it to our life?
You know, one of the things I said to my wife Tara was, you know, I've heard this passage preached on a lot. I've spoken on it, but some of the things that Pastor Zach pulled out by revelation, it was like I couldn't take notes fast enough.
Yeah, it was different.
It was very different. Was a different perspective. Going deeper. And one of the things that he said, taking shape versus taking life. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that down, and I've been kind of meditating on that all week. And it really hit me that, you know, sometimes we can, as a church, be into this mindset of the importance of shape and form rather than taking life, and how the bones and the sinews and the muscles all came together, but there was still no life in it.
Right.
And the importance of going out and doing what God has called you to do, but you have to have the Holy Spirit breathe on you. He has to be in you in order to fulfill the purpose that God has in your life. And that it really hit me, especially in this season of my life in transition.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the transition to just take form. It's
right.
Like, God, you have to breathe on this, and you have to show me the purpose in this plan and in this transition. And so sitting on the side of it 2.5-3 months later, I think that part really spoke to me, because I've seen God breathe onto so many different things.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's so true. We have to go with the breath of God. And this morning I was thinking about, you know, knowing that we were going to have this conversation, a passage that came to mind is in John 20. And this is where Jesus appears to his disciples after he's risen, and they're just coming to grips with the reality that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
You know, he came back. And in John 20, starting in verse 20, it's saying about Jesus, it says, as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side.
Mm.
They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.
Mm.
Then he breathed on them and said, receive the the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And you know, like we focus a lot on the Great Commission, the yes. sending, the going,
yeah.
and even like the day of Pentecost,
yeah.
you know, where the Holy Spirit comes in power. But it's so cool that in this first encounter with his disciples, he knows they need the Holy Spirit now.
Yes.
And before any going, before we have any more discussions, like he's like, I have to give them my breath.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit is literally the breath of God inside yeah. of us.
Yeah. That's so good. And Luke, I love that you brought that up, because what I love about that part of scripture is this says that the disciples were locked in for fear of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So they had already been commissioned. They had already been sent out. They had done miracles, but Jesus was now in the tomb. So right. when his bodily presence was gone,
right.
they stopped yes. fulfilling what God had called them to do. But when he came back, he didn't condemn them. He reminded right. them. He brought peace. And then he gave them the very thing that they were going to need, because he would be leaving again
right.
at that
right.
point. And that's what can happen to sometimes, is when we don't feel the presence, or we lock ourselves in even mentally from what God has for us. And we have to be reminded that it's the breath of God, it's his Spirit that's in us that commissions us to fulfill what he's called us to do.
Amen. Yeah, because even going, you know, looking at this in the context of, you know, taking shape or taking life.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us have that time, like, Jesus, I need you physically here with
yep.
me.
Yep.
Right? And we want that form.
Yeah.
We want that physical presence. Yeah. But what Jesus has left us with is so much greater.
Yeah.
It's he is inside of us.
Yeah.
His Spirit is inside of us.
That's so good. And I think another thing that Pastor Zach had mentioned, it was even the topic of he was talking about revival. And, you know, it's being talked about a lot. And there is a form to revival that sometimes people think. They go back to, well, we think just because one of the things he said is, just because the church is growing doesn't necessarily mean it's revival. Just because people yeah. are tithing doesn't necessarily yeah. mean it's revival. Revival comes from the heart. It comes mm-hmm. from God breathing on the individual, reviving mm-hmm. their heart. And I think that was something that really stuck out too, because that's what we've been praying for as a church.
Amen.
And we believe that God is going to bring revival to this region. And it's not, I think church growth is a part of it, but it is not the bottom line
no.
of it. It's God breathing on the believer's heart and reviving it, bringing it back to life.
Amen. And again, it's asking God, show me the bigger picture of what you're doing. Show me
yes.
the bigger picture of what you're doing, just, you know, beyond my own life, beyond the church where I have myself. Show me the big thing that's happening.
Yes.
Because again, that's another tendency, is we lock our eyes on the physical reality around us.
Yes.
And we're like, okay, I got to get this bone to connect to that one.
Yep.
So then, okay, now we have a leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? But if it's us doing it and it's not the Holy Spirit's power, then
yeah.
it's not, it's just our effort.
Yeah.
And it's not gonna you know, take life.
Yes.
Life only comes from God.
Yes.
And God is in the life-giving business.
Yes.
And we have to ask him to show us his perspective.
Yes. So good. And I think even in my own life, we can get to places where I love that he talked a lot about hope too. Mm-hmm. He talked about how even the world knows that people have hope that's perishing, and we have to have an eternal hope in Christ. And so I think part of revival and part of the Spirit coming into us brings back that hope,
mm-hmm.
that even though, like what you were saying, looking at the form might not look like it's active or moving, but when the Holy Spirit is breathing
yes.
on it,
yes.
there's hope that God is still in our midst, and there's hope that he is raising up an army.
Amen.
That's what we see at the end of it.
Amen. Now, part of your job here, or main part of it, is working here at King's Academy. And if you guys have been hearing any background noise, I don't know if it's going to be able to get scrubbed out, but all that background noise is King's Academy teachers, and they are full of life, and this school
yeah.
is full of life. What would you say is, like, taking this message, how do you apply that in your role, working with the kids, working with the teachers?
Yeah, I think I know the vision of the school was to allow kids to come to a place where they can excel academically, but also for God to encounter the Holy Spirit. And so for my role, my job here it's a dream job. It's being able to lead the chapels and come into a place where students are coming from all kinds of backgrounds. Backgrounds from, like you had shared with your testimony, where God, there was a covering.
Right.
And then you have some families that they come from a lot of brokenness. And what I have seen just in the first few months. And well, let me go back. My daughters started coming at the start of the school. And so I think for me, we have seen such a transformation in them. And yes, we've raised them in the Lord. They loved their children's ministry. But when they started coming to Kings, it was like we saw God breathing life into them. Like, yep. It wasn't just form. It was something even better than that. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like my wife and I were attached to the vision from day one. And so to now be on this side, to be in the school, we are already seeing transformation of students coming in from all different backgrounds. And we're seeing God breathing life and bringing hope into situations. Mm-hmm. Not just with the students, but even with the parents. My wife just got done telling me she had parent-teacher conferences, and she like came out like full of life. It was a long night of meeting with a lot of different parents, her spirit was like alive. There was hope in her, and more hope with what God is doing with the students. So I think that's what I've seen so far, is just the transformation of God bringing in students. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited for what God has.
That's so cool. You know, because as someone who enjoys teaching, who enjoys studying, I can sometimes find myself placing a premium on like the academic side of things.
Yeah.
And those things are important.
Yeah.
But when we're in light of the message, academics and structure, that's the form.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And obviously, any healthy body, you want to have healthy muscles. You want to have a healthy form.
Yeah.
But that's not the life.
Yes.
Math, history, science, that is not the life of a school.
Yeah.
The life of a school, the spirit of a school,
yes,
that's what matters. And as a school here, what I've seen, and even in our church, it just bleeds over, it's we need the presence of God.
Yes.
We need the spirit of God first. And then everything else, yeah, we'll work on that.
Yeah.
And we'll build that around that.
Yeah.
But we can't start backwards.
Yes. And that's so good, Luke. And I, you know, one of the classes I actually get to teach here is the STEM class.
Oh,
and so,
yeah.
You know, science, technology, engineering, mathematics.
Cool.
And it's awesome because you get to bring in these hands-on projects, and we're seeing the kids build and work together in groups. But something that the Lord's even doing is for every project we have, He's given a scripture to embed in it. So like today, our STEM class, we're going to be building, taking straws and masking tape and trying to house eggs.
Oh,
and
so
dropping
fun.
Them.
That's a fun project.
But we're going to actually talk about form, how God has formed us, and, you know, Psalm 139. And I'm going to instill that teaching in, and how sometimes when the hands of man can come onto us, like in my life,
right. There
was all kinds of abuse. Mm-hmm. Like man outside of God can cause damage. And some of these eggs are going to be broken because of improper builds. Mm-hmm. But we're going to teach how to house the egg properly so that right. No matter how high you drop it, the egg's going to hold. And that's the importance of understanding that no matter what people have gone through, mm-hmm. or what they've come through, God formed us, mm-hmm. when we were in our mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And He can bring wholeness to what mm-hmm. other people maybe have done to us.
Now, jumping off of that, what would you say to someone who's hearing this and they're saying, okay, I get what you guys are saying. I get that I need the Spirit of God, but for some reason, like you don't know what's happened. You don't know how my form has been damaged, and I can't get my eyes off the form, but it sounds like you're telling me to take my eyes off the form. How do I reconcile these conflicted feelings that I have? Like, how do I deal with this brokenness in my form?
I think it's a process. And like Pastor Zach was talking a lot about order. Mm-hmm. There's an order. And sometimes when we don't see things happening in the natural the way we want, we think God's not working. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to, I'll share a quick example. I had shared it on that Sunday, but when I was going back and forth between homes, there was a time where my biological mother would come and bring us back to her house. And my mom at that time knew what we were going back to. And in my natural form, I knew what was going to happen, what was going to take place. And I would run upstairs and hide under the bed. And my mom would come up, and even though she didn't know what was going to happen, she would get on her stomach and just pray. She'd grab my hand and she'd say, it's not always going to be like this. God is faithful and He will redeem this. And at that point, wow. It wasn't that I didn't think she wasn't telling the truth, but it was very hard to see the other side of it. Mm-hmm. But she knew. She spoke faith into a situation where even she was praying into but wasn't seeing a change mm-hmm. in the timing that she wanted. And so anyone who may be listening to this, to maybe saying, oh, I'm too far gone, or it's not, it's having that faith in that moment, and God will see it. I'm on the other side of it. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I find myself like being that same person where kids are running under this quote unquote bed to hide from things. I'm finding myself, God is giving me that same faith to be able to look kids in the eye and say, it's not always going to be like this, that God will redeem mm-hmm. this situation.
Yeah. And, you know, as you're saying that, you're telling a story about your mom saying that to you and how you're saying that to other people. That is the heart of God.
Yeah.
It's not you or your mom just out of their humanness saying that, because it takes great faith to trust that the Lord is moving and to even say, it's not going to be like this, but I don't know how long.
Yeah.
That's very, very, very difficult, because we want, you know, we can go through a lot if we know the ending.
Yeah.
You know, going to jail for 10 years is a lot different than going for life.
Yeah.
Or with the possibility of parole. You know, it's like, I'm here for life. I might get out. I don't know when.
Yeah.
You know, it's having that end time. It's like, God, can you at least tell me when it's going to be over so I can, you know, like grin and bear this.
Yeah. And I think it's important to add too that there was so much happening outside of what was happening in my own life that I didn't realize. Like, there were other moving parts. There were people who were praying and interceding for me on behalf of me. And I didn't know this till years later. And so I had shared of this woman who I grew up with. She had a son who was my best friend growing up. I've known him for 38 years. And she was walking around the courthouse praying and believing for deliverance. I had no idea she was doing that until years later when she told me she did that. Mm-hmm. So there's other things that are happening around you that are pushing you towards that place mm-hmm. of breakthrough and that place of freedom.
Right.
And so it's trusting in that process.
Yeah. And I'm drawing so much encouragement for those of us who are going to be that other praying person where we feel like, well, I'm not in the situation. I'm near it. I want to see this happen.
Yeah.
Like, do my prayers make a difference?
Mm.
Going and walking around a courthouse, like, I don't have to do that. It seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
But if that's what the Lord's prompting you to do, do it.
Yeah.
And don't measure your action based on, again, we want to see that form happening right after what we do. We like to have an action and then see a mm-hmm. result. But in the spirit, it's not always how things work. And understanding that we are part of this bigger picture.
Yes. Yeah. And it speaks to the hope. My mom had a hope, and it didn't look right. It's mm-hmm. like Pastor Zach was talking about, when you're looking over this dry valley of bones, it's hard to see life. It's hard to imagine these things coming back together. I mean, you couldn't get much more dry than that. There were dry bones. And I think that's what we have to do, is God gives us that faith to look over it. And the Lord gave my mom specific prayers. He put it in that other person to go and walk around mm-hmm. the courthouse. And those were those things you do out of obedience.
Right.
You
know? Oh, yeah.
I mean, imagine Ezekiel like being told to prophesy over, like, I mean, in my head, for me, I'd be like, all right, well, I'd have my reservations, but you, out of obedience, you do it, and you see God do the hard part.
Exactly.
And that's what we saw God do. We saw him do the hard part.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Would you just bless us and just pray for us as we go forward into this week?
Absolutely. And again, I just want to say thank you, Luke. It's an honor to be on this other side and just even hearing your story.
Amen.
So yeah, let's pray and agree together. Father, we are so grateful for your grace, your love, your mercy. You are such a kind God who sees everything that we're going through. And to anyone who is listening to this podcast, Father, we lift up every circumstance and dynamic, every person involved. And we pray, God, that you would breathe your breath onto the situation. We pray that hope would be restored. And Lord, even when it doesn't look like it, Lord, that you would position the right people who have a measure of faith to be able to walk hand in hand until there is a day of deliverance, until there is a day of redemption. We are so thankful for your love and your mercy, and we love you so much, and we are so excited for what you're going to do. The testimonies and stories are going to come, if Jesus is to tarry, that are going to come from this. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
To those of you listening, keep praying, keep worshiping, and march around the courthouse of your circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't count on hope.